Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
I always love that we finish with that negativity of, oh, what a bad take. Hey, it's
I don't even remember what the bad take was.
Well, I don't know, but it was perfectly placed there by Trevor on the, you got to win the Big Ten to win the Big Ten MVP. Hey, good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Latte, Derek Piper. Trevor is here. He's on the comfy couch doing some things. We've got some things today that are going to be really fun. Justin Spring, of course, this isn't fun, is leaving Illinois. He is now the assistant women's gymnastics coach at Alabama. He is in Tuscaloosa right now, but he's going to join us about 4:20 today. We're going to visit with him about, you know, kind of what went into that. I know I kind of want to ask him about the Illinois men's program in general. I know there are not a lot of gymnastic programs left, especially on the men's side, and I don't know enough about it to tell you how many there are on the women's side or on the men's side. That would mean that I would have to do research and actually do my job, which everybody that listens understands I don't do that. So we can ask Justin, though, about, you know, kind of that sustainability, if you will, of the men's program and how that will continue forward. Ribeiro. Is the interim head coach right now for the Illinois men's gymnastics squad. So we'll talk to Coach Spring at 4:20. At 5:05, we're really excited about this as well. Tyler Underwood, Brad Underwood's son, of course. Is it time, way past time, to introduce him like that? Like, Tyler, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. That was my fault. I know neither one of my kids wants to be known as Lante's son. You know, I mean, I don't know if they'd be embarrassed by it, but they're on their own, right? They're their own people. So Tyler Underwood will join us at 5:05. I'm anxious to just say, Tyler, do you have to be like 24 years old to even keep up with this portal stuff? Like, would I have any idea how crazy it is every day in that basketball office by saying, hey, there's 15 more guys on the portal, so here's what we'll do. So we'll visit with Tyler Underwood about that, kind of get his thoughts. But Derek, the big news today that came out about 2 hours ago is the word that USC and UCLA, traditional Pac-10, now Pac-12, powers out west, are likely to join the Big Ten in the future. What say you?
There's a lot to say about it.
There is.
I think first and foremost, it's weird.
It is weird.
And I don't know that I, as a consumer of the college athletics and Big Ten sports, I don't know that I like it, but I think that this is the direction. I know that this is the direction that it's going as far as super conferences. You look at the SEC stacking up with Texas and Oklahoma and just further movement towards that as we push forward. And I think that financially, I understand it. I understand the Big Ten is still negotiating their TV contract here for the future and more teams, especially as prestigious as UCLA and USC, are going to bring in more revenue, tap into another market, that being out in Los Angeles. And we are not Pac-12 people, but it has seemed that outsiders of the Pac-12 didn't really get a good feeling about the way the Pac-12 network really...
Right.
I mean, it was hard to get outside of probably the West Coast. And I was reading an ESPN article right before the show that said the SEC and Big Ten TV contracts were a lot more, maybe even double that of any other Power 5 league. That, of course, including the Pac-12, which affects USC's pocketbook, UCLA's pocketbook. I don't know, though, because... And there's a lot of different ways to go at this. Geography, of course, is one thing that you think about. And you have expanded out east with Maryland, Penn State, Rutgers. And that was kind of weird. But then
it is.
It still is kind of weird.
It is to me.
Now to go coast to coast. I don't really like it, because I think that the traditionalist of seeing SC and UCLA and at one point, you know, the best team, unless they're going to the national title game. I know this is different, but
yeah,
the Rose Bowl, like yeah. what that was for a long time and all of that. Now that this is just, it's all jumbled up. But then again, you could argue for more marquee games and that whole kind of deal. So I'm interested in your thoughts, and there's a lot to say about it, obviously.
I hate it. Two years ago, I finally just came to the grip of, Lon, you just need to calm down, because everything's changing. It's all about money. It's all about power. And the move that Texas and Oklahoma did from the Big 12 to the SEC should have signaled right there that everything is about to change. And I think this is just following suit, because what you don't want to do, Derek, is be left behind. And right now, the Pac-12, and I'm guessing especially USC and UCLA, who have been probably the two most monster, biggest programs in that conference for years, in terms of, I'm talking going way back, they looked at each other and said, we are being left behind here if this happens, because I'm sure they're worried about, all right, now the SEC has grown into this monster. What's the other monster? The Big Ten. And you just said it. It's all about money, right? And you just said it with the TV contracts. The Big Ten is on the verge of signing like a $1 billion TV contract, you know, coming up. So, I mean, if you're USC and you're UCLA, you're like, I want to jump in on that. And so I just feel like the whole shift in college sports, it's happening. There's nobody going to stop it. And you're just going to have to get used to it. I couldn't stand when Nebraska joined the Big Ten. I really hated Penn State. I really, really hated Maryland and Rutgers. To this day, playing Nebraska still feels like I'm playing a Big 12 team. When Illinois plays Nebraska, I still don't feel like, oh, they're playing Minnesota or Iowa or Ohio State or another one of these teams that I've known as the Big Ten my entire life. And now all of a sudden you're going to say, well, oh yeah, week three, don't forget that trip to UCLA. And it's like, oh, that non-conference. Oh, wait, no, that's mm-hmm. a conference game now. And then what is it going to do now with the divisions? We've talked about that. I know Josh Whitman brought that up the other day. And if you're an Illinois fan, you're going to be really scared if they get rid of divisions, because your only chance of playing in a Big Ten, I'm talking football only here, your only chance of playing in a Big Ten title game is if everything stays the same. If they change and take away the East and the West, you're done.
Can you beat out USC for the Big Ten West?
Well, now if they keep the West and just add UCLA and USC in it, at least then you still got that chance. But if you then tell, I mean, right now you've got a 1 in 6 chance of making to the Big Ten championship game with a chance of a possibility of playing in a playoff. If you go strip the divisions, 1 in 7, right? Strip the divisions, now you've got a 1 in 14 chance of making that. And that means you got to skip over Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa. Now, I mean, I'm sorry, but I have zero faith that if they skip these divisions and get rid of them, I have zero faith that in my lifetime I'll ever see Illinois play for a Big Ten championship. And that's nothing against Coach Bielma. I hope that he's building this program. But what has told you in the past that that would happen? I don't see it happening. And now all of a sudden you're going to bring him. If you keep the East and West, well, you've got to put UCLA and USC in the West. So does now Illinois get shifted to the East, to where you're playing now Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan every year? I don't like that. So I don't know. I hate it all. I like the traditional stuff. But you know what? Again, 2 years ago, I said to myself, 2 years ago when it was like Cincinnati was playing in like the WAC, the Western Athletic. I don't think they ever did. But I was just like, what? That doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. It's just weird to me. It's all weird to me. And I guess I'll just show up to tailgate 6 times a year or 7. And whoever we're playing.
Yeah. I think that on the Illinois football note, that's on Illinois to get in a position if your ultimate goal is to play in a Big Ten title game or win a Big Ten, like that's on you to be able to elevate your program regardless of who you're going to play.
But true.
It has gotten tougher, especially that's just the reality of college football right mm-hmm. now, the haves mm-hmm. and have nots. And this, the elite group is so exclusive.
But the East dominates,
no,
right?
No, you're right.
I mean, when's the last time a Western team won a Big Ten championship? Was it Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, like, would have had to be
years ago.
I don't know exactly what year.
So I'm not trying to defend myself.
No, I know. It's been on rare occasion.
Right.
And it will be interesting the way that you shuffle this, mm-hmm. or if you just go East and West. I think that's interesting when you're trying to figure out who from the West, if you're going to add those teams, would then swing over to the East. But
it's crazy.
Yeah. There's a number of different ways to look at this. Those that love the Big Ten, and obviously I imagine those that are listening in, Illini fans,
yep.
don't want to see the SEC get so far superior to every other conference.
Good point.
That where it's college athletics is the SEC and then everyone else. So from a Big Ten perspective, you got to keep up with them to feel like you're on par or in the same kind of realm. And I think that this move is going to help you do that. Another interesting way to look at it is, like, what if Illinois was in one of the conferences that was dissembling? Like, how would Illinois be looked at?
That's
like,
a good point.
I think that is, like, imagine right now, and then you're just wondering who else is going to be in the mix for the Big Ten or another place. Like, where's Oregon going to go? Where's Arizona going to go?
Think of Arizona State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought of that today. I was talking to Lucas about that. And I'm like, so here's what's happened now. You've watered down the Big 12 because Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. So now you're watering down the Pac-12. So now they are going to become a skinnier version of themselves. Forgive me for a horrible analogy. But, like, the Big 12 right now is not sexy. And if you take USC and UCLA out of the Pac-12, they're not sexy. So what's going to happen now is you're going to have essentially two power conferences. And it's all going towards, I mean, if you're Arizona State, to use an example, I'm bailing as fast as I can to get to the Big Ten or to get to the SEC. And I don't know which way to go. Now, unless you take the rest of the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and put them together, but does that make sense?
You might as well.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well.
Well, because now it doesn't make, as far as what makes sense geographically, or it doesn't matter anymore.
No.
I think the one thing I would say about not liking USC and UCLA are part of it I don't like. Like, Oklahoma and Texas, you could convince me that they fit in the SEC.
I see where you're going here, and I agree.
I think as far as programs or athletic departments that treat football like it's a religion and that whole kind of deal, and are all in on that as far as, you know, the footprint of the SEC. And then the location, it's still, I mean, I was looking it up. Austin is like 6-hour drive from Baton Rouge. It's not that
it's
big
doable.
Of a deal. Like, what's the drive from go all the way out to Lincoln, Nebraska, then drive the rest of the way to Los Angeles? Like, that's an entirely different thing. And I think I look at it a lot from basketball, but even if you're just including everything, adding Kansas to me would feel like a Big Ten team.
I see what you're saying.
I think that they, as far as like their makeup, would be similar to a Michigan State.
Yep.
Or an Indiana, or however you want to, even Illinois. Like, the USC and UCLA is just entirely different, and that's where you get so far-reaching with who you added on the East, now the West.
Exactly.
It's just, it doesn't have that same kind of, I don't know, it doesn't.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Right, I mean, that's the bottom line. It doesn't really mesh.
No.
Like, it seems like the SEC outside of, like, and here's another thing. Do you start telling teams, like, hey, we're thankful for your allegiance all these years, Northwestern, but, you know, hey,
but you're out.
Yeah, you're out. We don't really need you anymore. Or Rutgers, that was cool for you to come on over, but no, we don't really need you.
Well, let's continue this after we talk to Coach Spring, because I believe Justin Spring is calling in right now. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue to talk about the possibility of USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten and what it means in the future, what it means in the big picture. What are your thoughts? I mean, Derek and I are just throwing out our random thoughts. What are yours? 359-2255. That's the U of I Line and Lake text line. Take a quick break. Justin Spring on next. It is The Drive.
If you're involved with IT and are looking for a change, look no further. Join the team at AreaWide. They've been in business for 23 years, and they make their employees their top priority. And they offer a benefit package second to none. 100% health insurance for employees from Health Alliance. 100% vision. 100% dental. A 401k plan. Company vehicles. Monthly gas cards. Paid vacation and sick leave. $100,000 life insurance for employees. a $500 vacation bonus. You can buy computer components and software at cost for personal use. You get your birthday off. You get birthday treats and an anniversary gift. Say what? A benefit package second to none from AreaWide. Are you kidding me? Apply today at info@areawidetech.com. That's info@areawidetech.com. And now, here's Marilyn Melvin for the brand new Merle Norman store in Champaign.
There's a new Merle Norman studio that's now open for beauty. Visit us today at 706 West Market View Drive. You'll find all of your beauty needs under one roof. Come in and sample the latest skin perfecting formulas. Treat yourself to a free skin assessment to determine your personal needs and get your skin glowing. You can also enjoy a free express makeover where you can come choose from a virtual playground of color for eyes, cheeks, lips, and nails. Our beauty experts will help select the shades that are just right for you and teach you how to apply them like a pro. Ask about our variety of other special beauty services. Whether it's a perfect look for your wedding day, our pros will make sure that all eyes are on you. Looking beautiful is as easy as walking in our doors. Stop by the new Merle Norman Cosmetic Studio, 706 West Market View Drive, Champaign, Illinois.
It is The Drive with Tay and Piper Lante, Derek Piper, and it is time to hit the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line and bring on, still officially, the men's gymnastics coach at the University of Illinois, Justin Spring. How are you, coach?
Oh, all right. A little frantic, to be completely honest, but we're doing good.
Oh, man. I first of all, I'm just going to tell you personally, I hated hearing this news. And I'm happy for you as a person and as someone that I have admired from not so far distance for so many years, but I just simply hate the news. But I guess congratulations, coach. So what went
that
in?
That sounds about like every congratulatory call I got over the last 24 hours.
I bet.
I got about 140 unanswered text messages still I'm trying to get through. It's been been a heck of a day.
Well, we love you, coach, and what you've done for the university and what you've done as an athlete and as a coach and what you were for the community, you and your wife and your family. I mean, we just love you. So it's hard, but what went into it, coach? I know it hadn't. It couldn't have been an easy decision.
Did I lose you?
No, you're good. How tough of a decision was it, coach?
Yeah, this was not, sorry, my Bluetooth in my car is being funky. Are you still with me?
See what happens down in Alabama, coach?
Oh, stop that.
Terrible cell service.
Hit me with that question again.
I mean, essentially what I said is how tough of a decision was this for you? Because I know it had to have been tough.
Oh man, I broke down. I was an absolute basket case going into my team room when I, you know, had to let them know and tell them the decision. The process leading up to that was equally as stressful. And I mean, I've been in Illinois for 20 years. Like part of the decision was that in itself, because I'm one that likes, I'm a thrill seeker by nature. I'm one that is prone to, you know, running into a burning building, so to speak.
Right.
I like helping. I want to take on big projects. I want to do scary things. And that's part of what made me, I think, a great competitor. I think that's a little bit of what this is with the diminishing market in men's gymnastics and a vibrant, growing, robust market in women's gymnastics. It made financial sense. It made sense from a career advancement move. Here's the thing. I could always go back to men's gym.
Yeah.
If I want. I was never, ever going to get another opportunity to jump into. It's so funny looking at some of the comments online, right? They're like, head coach to assistant coach?
Oh.
Like, why would he ever do that, right? Well, I did it because it was a lateral move, to an assistant position. I mean, think about what that says. Like, I've been a head coach for 12 years, and this was a lateral or to some extent maybe even a better move financially for my family.
Right.
As an assistant coach, that alone tells you what the industry is doing in women's gymnastics. They're on ESPN. They're on television constantly. They're their sport is just booming. It's viral. It's amazing. The support is incredible. The career advancement is there. So I just, I cut ties with Illinois in my brain. I think that's how I softened the blow temporarily. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm coming back for the women's. I have got a strong relationship with Josh, and the University of Illinois. And I think in my heart, you know, if something goes south or something doesn't feel right from a year to 5 years down the road, like I can always come back. And that there was a comfort in my heart with that made me, I feel like, able to pull the trigger on this move as well.
Very cool.
Justin, you mentioned there the state of the men's gym sport in the NCAA. I think that people looking at this are going to worry, but now that you're gone, and I think I'm curious your thoughts as a former head coach and also a athlete in that sport. Are you worried about the sustainability of men's gym at Illinois, or just kind of the way that it's going forward at the sport in general too?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
I got, and that's a product of the numbers. You know, at some point I'm not worried about the immediate future of Illinois gymnastics at all at this point, but I am because of the numbers that exist in gymnastics in general. Like, I was worried when I took over the head coaching position 13 years ago, 12 years ago.
Right.
And I fought like crazy to advance the sport. And I fought against dinosaurs. I fought against people that were sticks in the mud and didn't want to make a change and didn't want to make gymnastics, put it in a better position. They were rooted in traditional mindset, didn't see the evolution of college athletics and what needs to be done if you're an Olympic nonprofit sport. And to be honest, I'm exhausted fighting that battle. I'm exhausted. And that's not saying I'm going to keep fighting. I'm just going to be maybe a little bit of a secret agent now on the women's side, right? because there's been talk about joining the championships. You know, every major competition in the United States hosted by USA Gymnastics is essentially a female and male combined. Not in the same time at the same floor, but they make it kind of a big weekend. And so that's been kind of prompted the NCAA for its championships.
Right.
And it hasn't gone through yet because there's been some resistance. And I understand why from the women's side, because what they've done is amazing and what they're doing is working. So that's not my mission here. I'm just saying men's gym is always going to have a soft spot for, you know, like it's literally a pillar of one. It is an identity it's in my DNA.
Yeah.
But I am not scared about Illinois men's gymnastics. I never would have left if I thought Illinois men's gymnastics was in trouble. Daniel is going to take the reins and run with it. He and I essentially co-created this program together. I've been the front man, you know, but he's been the behind the scenes guy all along. He's amazing. He's going to do great things. I think that we're just at the mercy of the future of college men's Olympic sports and Title IX juxtaposed to paying our players, football players, in 5 years. I think that is going to cause the cataclysmic shift in NCAA athletics that people don't even see coming. On the surface, man, we really should be paying those football players. Like, absolutely. Look at all the money. Look at the revenue. Look at the people in the stands. Absolutely. You start paying football players, you're going to see an exodus of men's Olympic sports like you have never seen. And it's already been terrible the last 30 years anyway.
Coach, can you expand on that? Like, what exactly do you mean by that?
I mean, so you're allowed to start paying football players, which means you can, you know, and basketball, right? You're going to pay the two sports that drive the industry.
Right.
But what are you going to pay them? You're not going to pay them 20 grand. You're going to pay, NIL deals are already pushing six figures.
Right.
But then you have the university has the autonomy to out of its own pocket start paying six figures, half a mil, one mil to your top football player. And then in any position. And so instantly overnight, when this overruling, what salary increase is going to happen in football overnight? What? 8 mil?
Yeah.
Five, eight mil. Like that's troubling. All right. But it's not 8 mil for football. It's title. Don't forget Title IX.
Right.
You have to spend that money on female athletes as well. So it's 16 to 20 mil. And that's just football and its counterpart. What about basketball? 4 mil, 5 mil. Don't forget the women part. That's another 8 mil to 10 mil. So you're talking $20 to $30 million overnight with this legislation change. Where is that money going to come from? It doesn't just appear out of thin air.
Right.
Goodbye, men's Olympic sports.
Interesting. All right, Justin. That's
and women's Olympic sports to some extent. Like I just people. I don't think people have spoken that bluntly about this. I just that is what will happen if you start paying college athletes. I just and I'm not saying that's wrong to do. I'm just I know how this will play out.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably an area that most of us don't think about. And it's interesting to me, Justin, that we haven't had you on in a little bit, but when the last time we had you on, you were talking about how at one home meet or match, you were working with a different scoring system. And you know what you were doing,
yeah.
Justin? You were crying out for help, essentially. Not to me, not to our radio station, but essentially, maybe you were, but I see now that I look back on it, I see what you were doing now. Essentially, you were saying, you know, we have to change this if we're going to survive, if we're going to keep men's gymnastics like it is. Can you tell me just off the cuff, how much more dominant, if you will, is women's gymnastics compared to men? I don't mean like dominant, but like how much stronger is the women's side of gymnastics compared to the men? Is it for somebody like me that doesn't know? Is it laughable?
We're not even in the same race. It's not like we're not even playing the same game as far as that's concerned. You know, like it's you know there's 80 plus programs D1 or I guess there's 60 plus D1s, but like when you go D1, D2, D3, which is how we count all of our D1, D2, D3 in men's, we're 90 plus, and they just started a brand new Power 5 women's program at Clemson. Like this sport is going women's gym is going in all the right directions, and it's supported by Title IX Offset, but it's supported by itself. Alabama averages almost 11,000 fans at its home meet.
Wow.
Like so forget the Title IX bonus that it, you know, they're on the right side of that as far as helping offset football, which we know is the main driver. They're doing it themselves, man. Like these young women are putting on a show. People are coming, buying season tickets, paying for them, and coming every weekend to watch these shows, these performances, this sporting event. And it's like all the while the men are like, man, like, I don't know why, because I was over there like, hey, we need to be a little bit more like that because that's working faster pace, more intensity, easier to follow, heavy hit. Like, we just didn't do it. We stayed more cumbersome. Our meets are slow. It's hard to follow. The scoring system's, I've been pushing this stuff for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's little stuff. And at this point, it's probably, you know, it's not enough. But like,
right.
I started pitching this stuff like 12 years ago. First year head coach, I came in, for better or worse, into the head coach's meeting, started guns blazing about the changes we need to make. And, you know, everyone looked at me like, this young whippersnapper, like, he needs to learn his role. It was an uphill battle the whole way.
Well, your resume, your resume, Justin, would give you all the credibility in the world to understand that and try to change it.
I lost you again. You guys there?
Yep, here we go. I said your resume, Coach, would give you everything you need to go in and change that. I mean, you know, it's not if they looked at you as somebody that like, why, where is he going with this? You would think with the resume you had as not only an athlete but also a coach, especially early on, I would think that they would listen to you and take that. I mean, is your ultimate goal then, if you look in the future, and I know we can't predict the future, but is it to lead a women's program then, I would assume?
Hold on. Pump the brakes. I just walked into a women's gymnastics facility for the first time in my life as a future coach of a women's program. I'm still trying to get my bearings on skill names and that's the craziest part. And that's where this jump was never in the books for me because we're the same, but we're very, very different, you know. But at the same time, I think this is just the perfect marriage between one. I absolutely love this head coach. She is amazing.
Awesome.
She is, I think, looking. It's her first time head coach. Not that she doesn't know what she's doing, but I've got 12 years of the administrative piece, team culture building, program management, and all that. And so I think that's a big contributing piece that I'm bringing. Certainly a great gymnastics technician, and we share two events, floor and vault, right? And so if someone offered me a head women's coaching position right now, I would have, even if it was for $1 million a year salary. Well, I don't know, maybe $1 million. I'd jump in, but like any time out. But like, I don't think I would take it because I do not like biting off things that I can't, that I know I can't chew. Right? Like, I take big leaps of faith, but I'm never going to sign up for something I don't believe I can do very well and very successfully. So
that's fair.
And I think that a women's head coach position is something I am not ready for, which is again why I think this position makes sense.
Are you ready
go
ahead.
Oh, I've been in Tuscaloosa for 12 hours total my entire life. So.
I've got you getting hired already for another job.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, are you ready to go see another house?
I'm actually at the community pool down the street from one of the houses that I've already sold in that my wife is like really grappling with.
I love
it. My wife and I are very different, which is what keeps our family bound. So I feel like it's a good place.
Well, listen, buddy, we wanted to just have you on because I wanted to congratulate you. And obviously
would appreciate it.
Yeah. And there's a lot in this. I mean, this is probably not the direction I assumed this conversation would go, but I appreciate the candid nature of Justin Spring. And I think you've always been one that's been out in front of things. And this is further proof of that. And you know, again, it kind of the revelation came to me while you were talking that, man, you were like crying for help on this stuff by trying to change rules, trying to change tournaments, how we do things. And nobody listened.
10 years ago. I mean, I saw the writing on the wall where we needed to go. At the end of the day, you're going to have only one or two sports that are profitable anyway.
Right.
Every other sport then is going to be measured by its popularity, by its, you know, like local support, by its engagement rating based off social media and, you know, logins for streaming. And if we're not ramping up those numbers, we're going to die, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just, I had a coach look me in the eye and say, I couldn't care less about TV coverage. And I'm like, you and I are speaking different languages.
Wow.
This is why he firmly believed that doesn't matter to him. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what you think though, man. You are existing in this world of NCAA college athletics, viewership and television matters almost more than anything, right?
Yes.
Like, what drives the whole thing. So, yeah, and now I'm in an industry that gets that and has put a product on the floor that is crushing that. And I'm excited about that. Wow. And I'm sad as hell to leave something I created for the last 20 years. And, that was a rough day, guys.
Oh, I know it is, buddy. And that's why I thank you for coming on. I mean, you know, two-time Illinois Athlete of the Year, Hall of Famer at Illinois. I mean, I hope in your heart, I hope you don't think for one second that an Illini fan looks at you any different, Justin. I think I can't speak for him. In my mind, I don't look at you any different. And I just congratulate you and thank you for everything you did for Illinois Thanks. Gymnastics and Illinois sports, buddy.
You make me cry.
Just jump, take a jump in the pool.
One deal I made with Josh, I said, hey, if I go out there, I need to promise you guys are going to bring me back for the 2012 national championship reunion. I got my team being recognized for the 10-year national championship reunion, you know, October 8th football
awesome.
Game. And
awesome.
I'm like, that's my championship team, man. Like, that's a special team to me. That's our last national championship title Illinois ever won.
Yep.
And I'm like, I was like, I need to come back for that. I need to be there for my boys. That was a hell of a run. That was an amazing year. So I'll be back on campus, I think, for that. So I made sure that had to be a guarantee lock-in. So I'll be back on campus.
Sweet.
For sure in the fall for that one.
Join us in the tailgate lot. You can do that now.
All right. Yeah. I'm coming back as a true alumni for the first time ever. You know how hard it is to have alumni reunions and you're still the damn coach? You're like, well, I can't have any fun with you guys because I got to work all day.
Well, uh-oh. This
I
could
drink some beers and hang out. Like, come on.
This could be a whole new Justin Spring that I'm going to see in October. I love it. Well, listen, buddy. Hey, good luck with the house hunt and good luck with the new job. And thank you so much for all you did, buddy. And thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me. ILL. Thanks a lot.
I, buddy. Good job. That is Justin Spring.
Bye.
See you, man. That is Justin Spring from Tuscaloosa. That did not go the way I thought that was going to go. And you know what? I give him credit for the candid. I think there's a few avenues here. It's kind of like dealing with this USC-UCLA thing. Like, I don't know that Stevie pays me enough for me to think this hard right now because I'm thinking today, like, what does this USC, UCLA stuff mean to the Big Ten and college sports in general? But then you look at the avenue that Justin Spring is talking about with regards to, and I'm not kidding you when I say there was a revelation that came over me, because I can't tell you how many times, Pipes, have we ever had him on in our 3 years?
I don't think we have.
Which is sad. It's a sad on our end. But there were so many times where he would say, you know, I'm trying to switch up the scoring for this meet so that it's faster moving and it's quicker. And you know, look, I'm not a gymnastics fan. I don't understand it. I don't watch it in the Olympics. I know a lot of people do. I kind of equate that to me and soccer, but when the World Cup rolls around, all of a sudden I'm like geeked out by it. I'm watching every World Cup, not every game, but when the United States especially is playing. But like, I just don't know gymnastics. I understand they're incredibly athletic. I understand the popularity. Just even look at it in the Olympics, the popularity of the women's gymnastics compared to the men. It's not even close. And I guess maybe that's a good analogy to use with what Justin is saying. And look, he has to look out for himself. He has to look out for his family. And you can hear the frustration in his mind or in his voice when he says another men's coach basically said, well, I don't care about TV. Well, there's a reason Illinois football is still making money, like Jeremy Werner said the other day. It's not because we're packing Memorial Stadium. It's got nothing. I mean, that has a lot to do with it, or it has some to do with it, but it's this billion-dollar TV deal that they're going to sign. That's where the money is. So, well, listen, Justin Spring has always been candid. He's always been a guy that I've loved talking to. He was one that I think we had in one day just to talk about other sports. He's like, dude, I can talk baseball. You know who he reminded me of? Drew Dickinson. I think they're two of kind of the same person that they love talking their craft, but they also love just talking sports. And that was cool. Very cool to have him on. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to our thoughts on USC and UCLA and the likeliness of them joining the Big Ten as early as 24, I think, is what they were saying. Man, there's a lot going on. Whew. It's the Drive.
I'm Damonte Williams. When it comes to hustling on the court, that's easy. You know what else is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care.
That's right, Damonte. When you need care for minor illnesses and injuries that's easy to get when and where you need it, OSF On-Call Urgent Care is your MVP. Walk in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even holidays, or connect with a virtual visit 24/7, 365 days a year. Visit osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at kelseyfurniture.com. That's kelseyfurniture.com.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. If you're listening and you've never been to a true barbecue joint, you need to stop a minute and come check it out. It's all about the local meat. It's all about the preparation. So aside from the typical barbecue offerings of brisket and pulled pork, turkey, we also offer our own spin on a few non-traditional sandwiches. You can also find our fine products in some of Central Illinois' best grocery stores. Stop by and check us out. That's HumbleHogBBQ.com.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years. And for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Hey everyone, it's Steve and Marianne from Prairie Gardens. We've got a huge perennial sale that's going on now. Every perennial we have, thousands and thousands, are now 25 to 50% off.
And this isn't perennials that have been hanging around for a few months. This is fresh crops that we're getting in almost daily now, coming up.
So truckloads.
We'll just have a beautiful selection in flower.
25 to 50% off all perennials. Prairie Gardens.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Need a little good news in your life? State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow at an even better price. That's right. State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is ready to help you save in Champaign-Urbana. Call Kurt today at 352-1411. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Jay Layman here, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you like steak? Do you like red meat? Well, if you do, you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. They had phenomenal steaks, sides, salads. I love the onion rings and the fried mushrooms as well as the fried pickles. You've got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. That's right. Make the trip to Gifford for some of the best steaks you'll have. Kids love it too. I brought my whole family. I'll see you at Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
If you need to sell a home and buy another one, talk to Nate Evans of eXp Realty. His Coming Soon program can help you do both on your own timeline. Pre-market your current home with the Coming Soon program to create demand and get more money and have first access to great homes about to come on the market before anyone else.
Sell your home with Nate. Pick the price, pick the day. Go to the NateEvansGroup.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Latte, Derek Piper. We were just talking off the air, and, you know, maybe for some listening, and even for me, a little bit, you know, you listen to Justin Spring, and you know, he talks about how we're paying football, we're paying basketball, etc. And, you know, in your mind, you might be sitting there saying, okay, well, why is that bad for men's gymnastics if, you know, player A in football is getting paid a lot of money? But, Derek, you kind of – no, you didn't kind of. You nailed it down in my mind of what and kind of how it is affecting it.
I think part of it, now there are different ways of looking at it, because I think if we do reach a point where schools and athletic departments are having to shell out money for actually player salaries, if it gets to the point where, yes, we've legalized NIL and that's a way for athletes to make money, if they then even further it and say, no, these are employees for your athletic department and you have to pay them as well, then that is going to hurt their ability to then fund other programs. But also in terms of, you think about the impact of boosters and donations, the way that NIL has changed this to now earmark, where a big money booster is going to say, I don't want to just give the program $10 million this year. I want to give it to NIL, earmark it for go get a quarterback or bring in the best basketball recruit that you possibly can with this money, this kind of a deal. And that, I think, changes the way that the money gets shifted around, where maybe in the past it's like, okay, That's not to say that there weren't boosters that say, hey, I want to give this money only on the indication that it's going to the football program, that it's going to the basketball program. But I think that's part of the equation. I'm just curious if what Justin was talking about on the sense of schools actually paying salaries, if we get to that point, I mean, it would make total sense of then the non-revenue generating sports of really being in a tough spot.
Yeah. It's cause and effect, right? And what he's saying is it will be interesting. It's kind of like this USC-UCLA news today, the likeliness that they will be joining the Big Ten. What's the cause and effect of that? So the cause and effect of what we're doing with NIL and the portal, maybe not so much the portal, but with NIL, what is that in 5 years when we look back? We knew what the cause was. Now, what's the effect of it? How has it changed everything? Maybe it doesn't change anything, but I'm sure that it's going to change something. And you kind of heard what Justin said about that. So then as we switch gears back to two Pac-12 schools that have been power schools, juggernauts in that conference for years, all of a sudden saying, okay, we're going to join the Big Ten, USC and UCLA. So now what's the cause and effect for that? What's the cause for the Pac-12? What's the effect, I mean, going to be for that? What does this do now for the Big Ten? How does it, and a lot of times when in this field of business, a lot of times when I think of something and it's too big for me, I try to dwindle it down to how does it affect me? And by me, I mean Illinois. So how does this move with USC and UCLA affect Illinois? Does it affect it at all? Do they just come in and now they're new members of the West and you know, I don't know, somebody, two new schools go to the East? How does that affect you? The other thing I was thinking of, when you mentioned Kansas, and you guys were saying this at the break as well. We talked a lot about the break. How you guys looked at this today with USC, UCLA, and immediately thought basketball, whereas I am still conditioned to think football. But with Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC, and if I think it's hard to win the Big Ten because of Ohio State and Michigan, Kansas is not winning the SEC football, nor is Missouri.
Kansas isn't winning any Power 5 conference football.
No. So I would think if I were Kansas and Missouri, that I would almost say, well, we want to join the Big Ten because of the basketball, the strength of the basketball in the Big Ten compared to the strength of the football in the SEC. Mm. But that's a whole nother side. I had thought of that with that.
I think a lot about basketball as far as realignment goes. Now, when you hear USC and UCLA, especially USC, you think football first. And no one's making a mistake of Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC for football. Like that,
right.
That is very obvious.
Right.
I think in terms of the impact for Illinois, if you look at it on the basketball side, a trip to Pauley Pavilion to play UCLA sounds pretty cool, or UCLA coming to Champaign. As far as the prestigious nature of that program, I think it's a lot easier to get, I don't know about get used to, but to be in the position of Illinois in the conference where you're just adding a couple of new opponents versus being in the Pac-12, especially like Illinois would not be the highest, the team that would be seeked out the most.
Right.
No. They would be Arizona State, or they would, you know, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're scrambling of, wait, where do we go?
You might not want to know where you would be.
Exactly.
In
like, I think that that's an interesting way to look at it. But
it is.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois is not going to care. And I don't expect Illinois fans to care what's going to happen to Oregon State Athletics Washington State or whatever.
Yep.
But I think just the I like having the different conferences to then – there's just more teams involved.
Yes.
To then dwindle it down to here are the best teams from the conference. It's just – it's tradition. Not to say that tradition has to stay the same. It's not to say that any change is good, like, or that every change is good. I think that there's middle ground there, and I get why people want to sit there and say, I want what we've had here, which is five Power 5 conferences or Power 6 or whatnot, and not two huge breakaway from the NCAA, potentially super conferences.
Speaking of basketball, I'm going to throw in my son, who actually texted in on the U of I Lightning Lake text line and said, I'm listening in, had an idea about potential Pac-12 reshuffling. Does the departure of the programs like UCLA and USC open the door for people or teams like Gonzaga and BYU to come to the Pac-12. I mean, how many times have we talked about Gonzaga and how they play in, what is that, the West Coast Conference? Is it the WCC or something?
Yes.
And And it's like, wouldn't they be better off being challenged more in like the Pac-12? I mean, I could see that in terms of basketball, how that would benefit the Pac-12, because we know what Gonzaga is, and BYU isn't, you know, they're not exactly, I mean, they're usually an NCAA tournament team. The problem is
a solid football team
and a good football team, but I don't think Gonzaga has football.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, I could see those two teams fitting in to the Pac-12.
Does Gonzaga want to do it? I think that's a big part of it. It's just like, does Notre Dame want to join a conference? Actually, does Gonzaga really want to be challenged in a conference? Like,
and it's funny because those are two different. Notre Dame doesn't want to do it, and I know you know that. Notre Dame doesn't want to do it because of the money.
Yes.
Gonzaga doesn't want to do it because of, but they would also make more money,
right,
in the Pac-12. But they just don't want to do it because they don't want to face. But there again, you're not facing UCLA anymore.
It's interesting because they challenge themselves a ton in the non-conference, but then they play in the YMCA for 2 months.
And let's be honest. It's not like they embarrass themselves in the NCAA tournament.
No.
We're to the point now where it's, well, Gonzaga hasn't won a national title. That's it. Well, neither is Illinois. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Gonzaga is playing... The biggest point, and we talked about this, is wherever they come out of the non-conference, they're only going up. So if they come out of these non-conference games ranked eighth in the country, they're not dropping to 10 because they're only going to lose maybe one game in that conference.
Exactly.
So now that benefits them to get one seeds, two seeds, et cetera.
You said it there.
Yeah.
If they position themselves well enough, if they're going to be a top 10 team heading out of the non-conference, they're going to be a two seed or a one seed.
Yep.
And that sets up their path then to have more tournament success. And also, there's also the contrast of, oh, do you trust Gonzaga? They haven't played anybody since December.
That's
but
true.
Also, this team can be more well-rested because when they're blowing out Santa Clara by 30, they rest their starters.
Good
and
point.
Illinois is going through the Big Ten gauntlet where they got to play somebody every night and get beat up.
That's a great point. All right, man, there's a lot going on today. If you did not get a chance to hear Justin Spring, you're going to want to make sure to go back and hear that. 5:05 today, coming up here in about 7 minutes, Tyler Underwood, Illinois men's basketball, is going to join us to kind of talk about his role with the team, the transfer portal, the NIL, USC, UCLA.
Where Kevin Durant's going to play.
Yeah, price of cottage cheese. Just everything. Everything. We're talking with Tyler Underwood when we return. Stay tuned. It is The Drive.